We look at the blessing internally. We scope it out as if it's for us individually. The blessing of God, yes, is for you, but it's also for the unbeliever who doesn't know God. When the blessing of God is on you, they should look at you and go, what's different about you? How can I have what you have? How can I live like you live? How do you have joy under this administration? How do you have joy when your children are far from God? How do you have joy when you're sick in your body? How do you have peace when they said there's going to be layoffs? How do you have peace when eggs are $9 a dozen? I have peace because I walk in the blessing of God. He favors me. And let me tell you, favor ain't fair. No matter if I'm in the mansion or I'm in the pit of darkness, I'm still blessed, and I can praise him, and I can pray to him, and I can love him. They knew they walked with the favor of God on their lives. They praised God in the midst of pain. I don't know about you, but you cannot praise God in the midst of pain unless you know you're blessed. All right, well, let's talk about the blessed life today. Welcome to everybody online. We are so grateful that you are with us. And if you haven't already subscribed to the Revive Church YouTube channel, help us get to 2,500 subscribers. I know there's at least 1,000 of you out there who watch the content, but you haven't subscribed yet. Please do so. And let's open our Bibles together as we end this learning series. We're going to go to two places in Scripture, Genesis 39 and Acts 16. Genesis chapter 39 and Acts chapter 16. We've been navigating this subject of the blessing from Scripture, and I hope that it's been helpful. If it was my choice, I would keep going on this. In fact, I'm thinking of doing just a YouTube teaching on this on my channel because I feel like there's more that the Lord has for our church and for other people to learn about his blessing. But as we find ourselves moving into Easter next week, I thought it was important to address a very important subject before we close this topic. I want to talk to you about the security of the blessing. We've taken the blessing from different aspects. And in week one, we talked about how the blessing of God is from the word of God. He spoke his blessing over humanity. Adam revoked the blessing. Abram received a new promise of the blessing, and Jesus restored the blessing. It's because of the grace of God that we're able to even access the blessing of God. Last week, we looked at how the blessing affects our finances. The blessing of God equips us and empowers us to be producing something in our lives, especially financially. The blessing of God makes one rich without adding sorrow to it. That's what the Bible says. And I hope that you heard that, and I hope that you're navigating that within your soul. But today, when I think about the blessing, I consider one of the most important people who walked in the blessing, but it didn't look like it, and that is a man named Joseph. In the Old Testament, Joseph lived an incredible life. We don't have time to go into all of Joseph's life, so I want to give you an outline very quickly of this man named Joseph from the book of Genesis. Genesis 37, verses 1 through 11, he is faced with family jealousy. He's a young boy. He's a teenager, and God gives him this dream, and the way this dream is interpreted by his family is that the dream says that his brothers and his father will bow down to him. Now, I just imagine. Christian comes to you, Jaime. I had a dream, Dad. You're going to bow down and worship me. Shut up, boy. Like, ain't going to be none of that in this house. And they're upset about this. And so the family is backbiting and talking bad about Joseph. They don't like this. In fact, it gets to a boiling point later in the chapter where his brothers are so angry with him because he's favored by his father, because he's saying that he's going to have these dreams where they're going to bow down. They sell him into slavery. They kidnap him. They throw him in a pit, and they want to kill him. But the oldest brother, Reuben, says, no, let's sell him into slavery instead. Then they go lie to his dad and say, oh, I'm sorry, an animal ripped him to shreds. In Genesis 39, he's forced into slavery, and he becomes a slave in Egypt to a man named Potiphar, who would have been the Pharaoh's maybe third or fourth in command. He led regions of Egypt. As he's living under Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife thinks that Joseph is sexy, and so she goes after him. And she tries to seduce him. And Joseph is a man of integrity. And so he runs away. And at one point, he runs so hard that she grabs his cloak and rips it off of him. That's how powerful the spirit of adultery is on her. And he runs out, and she accuses him of sexual assault. She says, he tried to rape me. And she goes and tells her husband. Her husband is furious about this, and so he throws him into prison unjustly. There's no court, there's no law, there's no jury. He's just thrown into prison. In Genesis 39 and 40, he's forgotten and overlooked. No one even knows that he's alive at this point. But as he is in prison, he runs into the baker and the cupbearer of the king, someone who would have produced the bread for the Pharaoh, someone who would have served the king wine. In fact, the cupbearer had a very important role because they would taste the wine first to see if it had been poisoned. You say, how do you know it had been poisoned? Because they died when they drank it. And that way the Pharaoh's life was spared no matter what. And these two are sent to jail. We don't exactly know why, but in this, they have dreams as well. Joseph interprets it, and he tells one of them, you're going to go back and serve the Pharaoh. Another one, he says, you're going to be executed this very day, and both of those come to pass. Now, I believe it was the cupbearer. I could be wrong. I get it mixed up all the time, and I apologize, but I believe the cupbearer, yes, the cupbearer gets back into the service of Pharaoh, and he, Joseph, tells the cupbearer, hey, when you go see Pharaoh, because I interpreted this dream, remember me. That's all I'm asking. Just go tell the Pharaoh, this guy interpreted my dream. He is of God. He's a good guy. You need to let him out. And for 2 years, the cupbearer forgets about Joseph. 2 more years, Joseph is unjustly in prison. Now, I'm just going to ask, this is not a rhetorical question. You can answer this. That man's life, does that look like it's blessed? Thank you, Sarah. She said, I'm bold on this. That does not look like a blessed life to me. If I had to write that as my autobiography, the title would not be The Blessed Life. It'd be like, this life sucks. But thank God that he sees things from a different perspective. Because when you keep reading in Genesis 40 and 41, we see that Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret. And after 2 years, the cupbearer remembers this man named Joseph in prison. He says, hey, actually, this guy interpreted my dream, Pharaoh. So Pharaoh calls Joseph up. He interprets Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh's dream says that there will be 7 years of plenty of harvest, 7 years of famine. Pharaoh is so moved by the fact that Joseph correctly interpreted this dream that he puts Joseph in charge of the entire nation of Egypt. Pharaoh even says it this way, you will be second in command only to myself. You have more power than anyone else. Now, not a rhetorical question. Would we say that that is the blessed life? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. President Trump calls you up. Hey, forget the vice president. You're in charge now. All right. I got this. We can do. I'm blessed now. When we look at Joseph's life, up until Genesis 40, we say he wasn't blessed. But then after he gets out of prison and after he's given power and authority, then we say he is blessed. But did you know that Joseph was actually blessed every moment of his life? It's that last chapter that we have to get to so that we can experience the blessing. That's what we believe. And this is a spiritually fractured belief. This is what I call an unsecured blessing. We believe that the security of the blessing only comes through the absence of pain. We've been conditioned in modern Western Christianity to believe that the absence of pain equals the blessed life. As long as nothing is going wrong, I'm blessed. As long as the doctor doesn't give me the wrong diagnosis, I'm blessed. As long as I'm not having a bad day, I'm blessed. As long as I'm not feeling depressed, I'm blessed. According to the Bible, this is not true. Let's look at the middle of Joseph's troubles in Genesis chapter 39, and I want to show you this from verses 1 through 6. It says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. What we saw is that he was a slave, but the Bible says he was successful. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Check this out. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Joseph is so blessed that a wicked Egyptian who served false gods got a taste of the blessing because of Joseph's blessed life. Joseph is a slave, and the Bible says he's still a success. But you don't like your job, and so you say you're not blessed. You don't like your marriage right now, so you say you're not blessed. Your kids ain't acting right, so you say you're not blessed. It's quiet in here. Y'all awake? Is it okay? We say we're not blessed. But the Bible says that when you're walking in the blessing, you have success in all that you do. So maybe it's not that you lack the blessing. Maybe it's you lack the confidence of the blessing. You lack the knowledge of the blessing. You lack the understanding of the blessing. Or maybe you've put your trust in circumstantial evidence, not in scriptural evidence. So I'm blessed because Jesus says I'm blessed. Not because I'm a slave or I'm the master. No matter what my title is, I am blessed. Right after this, Potiphar's wife falsely accuses Joseph of trying to sexually assault her, and so he's thrown into prison. Genesis 39, verses 20 through 23, Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. This man can't stop getting put in charge of everything. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Somebody say, I want that. Boy, I want that in my life. Can you imagine, every one of us wants to start our own business. Can you imagine being an employee in a business, and because the Lord is with you and you're so successful, your boss doesn't even pay attention to you? He don't need to check no reports. He doesn't need to do an audit. He doesn't need to call in HR for nothing. If Chelsea's in charge of it, I know the Lord is with her. I'm not even a believer, but I know the Lord is with her. She can do what she wants. That's how blessed Joseph is. We don't like it when our boss pays attention to us. Maybe it's because we're not doing the right things. Maybe if you were doing the right things, walking in the favor of God with faith, knowing confidently that you are blessed, maybe your boss would pay you less attention because they could trust you. Joseph is so blessed that even under the oppression of slavery, his presence blesses whomever he serves under. My God, that's a word. When the blessing of God is so strong in your life, it doesn't always mean that you are instantly promoted, but it does mean that those who are above you receive the overflow of the blessing. And that's a good word. The company that you work for should be flourishing, not because they have the right CEO, because they got the right employee, because they got the right blessed folk in the house. And even though they got sinners all around them, somebody with the blessing showed up. So there are prophets. And where are those prophets coming out from? My desk, my area, my management. Why? Because I'm walking in the blessing. I'm confident in what I am doing. I have success, not because I'm so great, but because I've sharpened my skills and I've surrendered to the blessing and the favor of God. We believe sometimes that we live an either or kind of blessing. But God said it's not either or, it's both. Joseph is both a slave and he is blessed. Joseph is both falsely accused and he's blessed. He's unjustly imprisoned and he's blessed. So the question we need to be asking ourselves is not, is he suffering or is he blessed? The question we need to be asking is, how was he so secure in the blessing that he did not waver in his success despite the circumstances? Many of us have that either-or mentality. I'm either sick or I'm blessed. I'm either divorced or I'm blessed. I'm either working at a dead-end job or I'm blessed. I'm either single or I'm blessed, struggling or blessed, renting or blessed, depressed or blessed, lied about or blessed, persecuted or blessed, looked over or blessed, lonely or blessed, single or blessed. The truth of the matter is you are not blessed based off of your circumstances. You are blessed because of what the Word of God says about you. And Joseph's life tells us a totally different story. But what many of us do is we allow the volume of the pressure, the volume of the pain to drown out the Word of God that says we are blessed. So how do we do this? The answer is found in Psalm 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. If you want the security of the blessing of God in your life, you have to walk in what's called the favor of God. Somebody say the favor of God. Psalm 5 says his favor is a shield around us. This is one of the scriptures that I pray over our family and pray over myself and pray over our church every day, that his divine favor would be a shield around us. And this is something you need to start praying every day, that your favor is a shield around me. It's a shield around my family. It's a shield around my church. The Hebrew word for favor means God's pleasure and delight for me. God's pleasure and delight for me. Did you notice in Genesis 39, it said that the Lord was with Joseph and the Lord would cause others to favor Joseph. Because the Lord was with Joseph, other people favored him. Those in charge favored Joseph. When the Lord is delighting in me, when he is pleased with me, I am favored, and that is the security of the blessing. Joseph didn't waver in his success because God's favor was on him. The empowerment of the blessing of God to be successful was protected by the favor, the pleasure, and the delight, the shield of God around Joseph. Now, when we look at the circumstances, we base the blessing on a fabrication. We say that he was not blessed because of circumstances, but he was blessed not because of circumstances. He was blessed because the favor of God rested on him. He operated in integrity, which is why the favor rested on him. He operated in honesty, which is why the favor of God rested on him. You cannot walk in unrighteousness and expect the favor of God to protect you. But as followers of Jesus, we are made righteous through Christ Jesus, which means we have access to his favor. And favor has a distinct appearance. It's me in right standing with God. It's you submitted to the Holy Spirit. It's us when we trust in God regardless of circumstances. So let me show you a New Testament example. Background on Acts chapter 16, which is where we'll be. This is where the Apostle Paul, Paul and Silas are going through the city, and they run into a young fortune-telling girl. She had a spirit of what's called divination. She could tell the future. And as she's going around, she's annoying Paul and Silas. And so Paul turns around and casts the demon out of her. And man, that's pretty fun. Well, the problem was she was being pimped out by other men in the community. And so they were using her gift of divination to tell the future, and then they were taking funds from her. She was a spiritual prostitute. When he cast that devil out, she lost the power to divine things. And so these men threw a fit, and they rustle up the courts, and they rustle up soldiers, and they arrest them, and they put them in prison. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 22, is interesting. It says, the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. So not only that, they're naked. They commanded them to be beaten with rods. They had laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. All right, not a trick question again. Does that look like the blessed life? No. How many of you today are going, Lord, bless me enough to be thrown into the prison inside of a prison? Like, that's what they did. They didn't want them out so much that they stuck them in a pit within a pit. So literally, they would have no human contact because they understood the power they had. They said, we don't want them to even talk to anyone. These guys are such a threat to the religious demagogues that they beat them to silence them. They parade them around naked to silence them. They throw them into the innermost darkness to silence them. And then verse 25 comes. And this gets me. But at midnight. You ever been in a midnight? Paul and Silas were complaining about how they had given up everything to the Lord and he allowed them to be in prison. Is that what it says? No. Does it say anywhere that Paul and Silas were talking back and forth about how it would have been good to go back to the good old days when they weren't following Jesus? No. It's midnight. They're bruised. They're bleeding. They're broke, probably got broken bones. They're chained. They're in complete darkness. And instead, the Bible says they are praying and singing praises to God. You kidding me? My behind would have been yelling out, "Lord, where are you?" They are praying and they're singing hymns to God. And the prisoners on the outer prison are listening to them. And suddenly, there's a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everybody's chains were loosed. And the keeper, we stop there usually, but let's keep reading. The keeper of the prison, the guy who the religious leader said, "You make sure they don't get out." He awakes from his sleep. He sees the prison doors open. He thought the prisoners had fled. He draws his sword to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Now wait a minute. Not only are they praising God, not only are they praying to him with thanksgiving, but when the miracle shows up, they don't leave the environment they're in. Okay, now wait, let's logically think about this. You are broken, you are busted, you are bleeding, you have been tortured, you have been maligned, you have been lied about, you have been thrown into the pit of darkness, and God works a miracle, the chains fall off, the doors open. What are y'all doing first? I don't know about you, I'm running straight out of there as fast as I can. But blessed people know that you've got to be in the environment where the blessing is. People with favor understand that this is not the end of the story. If God delivered me from this place, it's because he has a purpose here before I go. The doors were open. They could have run out as fast as possible, but Paul and Silas recognized the blessing is here. How do I know? It may be dark, but my chains are loosed. It may be dark, but the doors are open. It may be dark, but the blessing has overflowed to every other prisoner, which means something's happening in this place. So before you leave the dead-end job, before you leave the marriage, before you leave the relationship, ask the Lord, is the blessing on this? Because if the blessing is on this, I can't leave from this. Because you've obviously got something in the works right now. All I need is a little glimpse. Just take that one chain off that right foot and I'll know you're doing something. They had the favor of God on their lives. They were so secure in the blessing that they sat their behinds down and said, "God, we know you're not done yet." And he wasn't. Paul called out with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, I have a hypothesis about this. I could be wrong. I don't believe he was asking saved as in salvation. I believe he was asking, "How can I be saved? Because my life is about to end." Because the second the government finds out that all the prisoners' chains were loosed and the doors flew open, I was in charge. How can I be saved? I really believe that's what he's asking. And Paul and Silas, under the influence of the blessing, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. The same man who would have been responsible for beating them is now cleansing their wounds. Immediately, he and all his family were baptized. And when he brought the same man who would have chained their feet to the ground, now invites them back into his house and feeds them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. That's the overflow of the blessing. But if Paul and Silas had not had the favor of God and been secure that they were blessed, no matter if they were chained or free, that man and his family would have never been saved. We look at the blessing internally. We scope it out as if it's for us individually. The blessing of God, yes, is for you, but it's also for the unbeliever who doesn't know God. When the blessing of God is on you, they should look at you and go, what's different about you? How can I have what you have? How can I live like you live? How do you have joy under this administration? How do you have joy when your children are far from God? How do you have joy when you're sick in your body? How do you have peace when they said there's going to be layoffs? How do you have peace when eggs are $9 a dozen? I have peace because I walk in the blessing of God. He favors me. And let me tell you, favor ain't fair. It puts me at a different level so that no matter if I'm in the mansion or I'm in the pit of darkness, I'm still blessed and I can praise him and I can pray to him and I can love him. They knew they walked with the favor of God on their lives. They praised God in the midst of pain. I don't know about you, but you cannot praise God in the midst of pain unless you know you're blessed. You can't praise God in the midst of the worst circumstances unless you know that you're blessed. And I'm preaching to me more than I'm preaching to you. If y'all know Jim and Kathy Bolton, wonderful, sweet couple. Mr. Jim has portrayed Santa Claus for decades. And I mean, honestly, if I believed in Santa Claus, I'd be like, that man is Santa Claus. And he just had knee replacement surgery. I don't think they'd mind me sharing this, but they're online today. And went to go see them earlier this week. Just see how he's doing. He's doing well, by the way. He's doing really good. And we're grateful for that. Yeah, absolutely. But when you spend time with the Boltons, it turns spiritual so fast. But in a good way. They're not they're not here, so I'm just going to talk about them. They're watching, but I'm going to talk about them. They're not super spiritual in the weird way. You know what I mean? Like, they're down-to-earth, normal people. But they know they're blessed. And so we're sitting there, and we're talking about his knee replacement, and they were saying that when he first got the surgery done, he was okay. They got him home, and he had some major complications. They had to immediately put him in an ambulance, take him back to the hospital, and he was in the hospital for 4 more days. And I'm sure doctors were very nervous. And now he's at home, and he's resting up. And so we're talking about different things. And Miss Kathy goes, God is just so good. And I could tell she's thinking about something, and she says, I got to tell you this story. I want to tell you how good he is. She said, I think it was a stair step ladder, some of those little ladders or something. And she said, I needed to return it, but I threw the box away. I didn't have it. I hope I'm telling this story correctly, Miss Kathy. And I think she said it was her son or her nephew had shown up, and he had a truck. And she was telling him, you know, I need to package this up. I just don't have a box. And he says, well, I'll take it. He said, I've got boxes in my back of my truck. And he gets to it, and he builds this little box for the steps so that we can return it. She goes, oh, God is so good. She goes, oh, let me tell you about this other thing. And she couldn't remember what it was, so she calls her sister in the room. And she says, I was stressing about this for about a week, and I can't remember, what was it? And her sister comes in, and she says, it was his appointment. She goes, that's right. She said he was supposed to have an appointment in the future, but we wanted it to be the same time because we were already headed to the hospital. And so we'd called and not been able to change the appointment. And we show up at the hospital, and the office of this other doctor calls and says, hey, we actually have an opening right now. Can you make it? And she's like, praise God, we're right outside. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. In my young age and in my season of life, when she was telling me, let me tell you about how good God is, I had to repent. Because I was expecting, like, she raised Lazarus from the dead while she was at the hospital. Kind of miracle, right? Because when we think about how good God is, we think of the grand scope of circumstance. And here's a woman, and here's a man who've been together for 50-something years, and she looks at the little things. And here's the way she said it. She said, honey, it's like a million little miracles every day. He almost lost his life. But she's thanking God because somebody showed up with some boxes. He is trying to get back on his feet after knee replacement surgery. And he's just thanking God that the doctors changed their schedule so he could get fit. And I was so convicted because all I had been doing all day is complaining about the stuff in my life that had not been going right. I'm sorry to admit it. But when I was feeling like a prisoner to my own circumstances, and I stepped into a deeper prison cell of someone going through something worse, but I heard them praising God, and I heard them shouting about how good he was even in the little things. I had to take a step back and just sit in the presence and go, you know what? If they're blessed, I'm blessed. If they have favor, I have favor. So I can look at my circumstances and thank God that he's good in the little things. Honey, I woke up today, and I'm on my own two feet. I woke up today, and I'm in my right mind. I woke up today, and I've got a voice to preach to you. I woke up today, and the Scriptures did not change. I woke up today and Jesus is still on the throne. I woke up today and I've got food in my pantry. I woke up today. I am blessed because he is pleased with me. I'm not blessed because I have the most or the least. I'm blessed because he is pleased with me. So whether I'm a prisoner or a slave or the master or the Pharaoh or second in command, I've got the favor of God and I am blessed. If you're in the doctor's office getting a diagnosis you didn't expect, you should be able to praise him because you are blessed. When you're getting the chemo treatment, you should be singing out about God's goodness because you are blessed. When you get that next injection and you're waiting on the child, the promise to come, you just praise God because you are blessed. When you are served those divorce papers, you just praise God because you are blessed. When you're sitting in your one bedroom apartment by yourself asking God, where is your spouse, you praise him because you are blessed. Don't you dare look at your circumstance and say, circumstance dictates if I'm blessed. You are favored by God, and his favor secures the blessing in your life. It's a shield around you. Now, here's the hard part. Now, I've never fought with a shield and sword, but if you've ever been in a fight, it doesn't matter how good you are at blocking, the hits still come. And when the hits come, even if you're the best guard, it still hurts. I can only imagine having a shield up, and when the sword comes down on you, it still hurts. And here's what our Western Christians who don't understand persecution, but act like persecution is some wicked meme showed up on your Facebook page, do. The devil pulls out his weapon, and he takes one good hit against the favor of God, and you go, ah! You drop your shield, and you go, I guess God doesn't care about me anymore. I guess I'm not blessed anymore. But you want the blessing so badly, what do? You get on YouTube and you find the most famous YouTube prophet and you sow $1,000 a seed into his ministry. Because he said, you'll be blessed if you do that, even though you can't find that in the Bible. Oh God, it hurts too much. And so I'm just gonna stay here because I don't wanna have pain anymore. When I go to the book of Isaiah, one of my favorite scriptures, in a bad way and a good way. For no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It didn't say, for no weapon formed against you shall cause you pain. It said, no weapon against you shall prosper. A weapon is not formed to cause pain. A weapon is formed to destroy you. A weapon is formed to kill you, to take you out completely. A weapon is formed to maim you, to brutalize you. So when you feel pain, but you're not taken out, that's because the devil knows you've got a shield of favor around you. He's not going to attack you if he knows he already won. But if he knows your defenses are up, and if he can hit you hard enough and cause just enough pain that you put that shield down, he knows he's got you. I came to tell somebody today, if your circumstance is painful right now, keep moving forward. If your circumstance is painful right now, pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and fight back, because that weapon can't prosper as long as His favor is a shield around you. You walk in the blessing. The only reason you're experiencing the pain is because the devil wants you to know, I see the shield, I just want you to take it down for me. Don't you dare let your guard down. You are victorious because of Jesus Christ. You have the favor of God. You walk in the blessing. No longer should circumstances ever dictate what we are, how we operate, what we believe. Every morning, wake up, I thank you, Lord, that your favor is a shield around me. It's a shield around my family. It's a shield around my church. It's a shield around my business. It's a shield around my marriage. The pain may come, but that's just a signal that the devil's pissed off today. If he's going to hit me again, it's because I'm doing something right. If he's going to keep coming after me, the devil is not victorious. Charging you with a weapon is not a sign that he has won. It's a sign that he knows he's about to lose. Because if you put any pit bull in the corner, they're going to charge. They're going to attack. Because they know their time is short. I can praise God in every circumstance. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I rebuke the spirit of fictitious circumstances over this church. I rebuke the spirit of lies in this church, the spirit of deception that has taken people to a place to say, I'm not blessed because of my circumstances. No, you walk in the favor of God. The blessing is secure because it is a shield around you. His favor protects you in Jesus' name. But you have to walk in the uprightness of God. You have to walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have to walk with integrity like Joseph did, which means we have to repent of the lifestyles and the habits and the choices that we have made that have taken us out of the favor of God. And if you're here today, I want to encourage you, take this moment right now and reflect for just a second and have a moment with Jesus. If there is anything in your heart, any sin issue, any doubt, any unbelief that you've been struggling with, turn it over to the cross right now. Thank him because he has favor for you. Walk in the uprightness. Walk in the righteousness of God. Lord, I bless your church. I thank you that we walk in your never-ending favor. But your word says you protect the righteous. So I speak your word over this family. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I pray that the righteousness of God would correct us when we walk outside of the favor, that it would draw us back to be reconciled to you. I thank you for your grace. Your grace is why we have the blessing in the first place. But I thank you that this church is blessed in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never heard this word before, you've never heard this message, I want to invite you to understand this word is not just for anyone. This word is for those who walk in the righteousness of Jesus. And the Bible says the only way to walk in the righteousness of God, righteousness means to be in right standing with God. When God sees you, he sees right. The only way to do that is to put your faith in Jesus. It's not by doing everything right. It's putting your faith in Jesus and allowing His Holy Spirit to transform your behavior, transform your mindset, transform who you are into becoming more like Jesus. But if you're here today and you've never chosen to follow after God, you've never put your faith in Jesus, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer here in person and online. I want to give you this opportunity to enter into the presence of God, become a part of the family of God, and walk in His blessing and favor. So I want to lead you in this prayer very simply, line by line. I'm going to ask everyone in the room, everyone online, would repeat after me. Say, Father God, I come to You today, and I've sinned against You. I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm asking You to be true to Your word. Make me the righteousness in Jesus Christ. I ask You, Lord, to not just forgive me of my sins, but to pour out Your blessing and pour out Your favor on me. I thank You that today I'm a new person and I'll never be the same again, but I can't do it perfectly. So Holy Spirit, I invite You into my life. Fill me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Convict me, rebuke me, change me, transform me. I am Yours, and I want to be more like Jesus. As of today, my life will never be the same, and I thank You that my life gives You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Come on, can we celebrate that today?